Well, good morning, Trinity. My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here, and we got a treat. Pastor Peter and I are going to be team teaching this morning and really talking about what does it look like when we live in this life of worrying what to bring, using that little example of just going on a trip, like we've gone on trips, right, and packing stuff and worrying about it. And you've noticed also probably that our service this morning looked a little different. Everybody's in here, and that is intentional. On our first Sunday of every month, we bring everybody together to journey together as a church. To say we are in this together. Discipleship and following Jesus isn't divided, it's together. And so we want to learn and journey together and send off. And so everything we do this morning is about being together and learning together. And so I got a little game for us, Peter, and we want you to play as well. It's not hard, your involvement's easy. We're gonna go through a little game and we want you to keep track with us. We're gonna say some of the things that we worry about and we want you to keep track. If you worry about these things in your life or have, just mark them on like your hands. And then what we want to do at the end, we'll have you raise up and see how many feel in the same boat as us. So Peter, why don't you go first on maybe some of the things that you worry about?
Like a lot of you, we have a beloved pet, a dog, a labradoodle named Lily, and she's beautiful, but she's sometimes crazy. And I worry sometimes that she will run away from our house. And in fact, when I was driving up our hill, I saw a dog that looked just like my dog a block away. So that looks just like our dog. That is my dog. Chaser. And so my dog sometimes gives me worries.
Yeah, right there with you. One, I worry a lot about failure. I worry if I'm going to fail at a job or at a test or anything. Really just failure in general is something that really worries me and I think about a lot. Anybody else? Two? You?
I do worry about church a lot. Yeah, I worry about church, our leaders, people that are fighting illnesses, the different ministries. So I know I'm a pastor, but I worry about our church a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do too. That's three for me. I worry a lot. I have three kids, 7, 5, and 3. And I really worry a ton during that stage where they're everywhere. I fear like them getting hurt and I'm not around. Or anybody else, any other parents like or grandparents, losing your kid. don't go to a children's museum. Lord, I've lost one or two kids there before. So that's something I worry about a lot. Like anybody with me?
That's right. Both Kathy and I are blessed that both sets of parents are still alive, relatively healthy, but both our dads are now in their 80s. So I worry about my aging parents. I get nervous sometimes when I see a call coming from home, back home in Chicago, if everything's okay with my mom or dad. So as my parents are aging, I do worry a lot about them.
Yeah, that's for me. And then one of the last things, one of the big things that I worry about is, in my relationship with God, I worry a lot, does he actually still love me after all the things that I've done? I grew up kind of just this really heightened sense of like how I'd messed up, talking about failure earlier. I just always wondered like, will God ever love me after all that I've done? And so I don't know how many of you, just hold up a hand or maybe you need to, like how many did you worry about? Anybody? All right, good. Some of you ones I'm a little jealous of already, so, but it's great.
Looks like we're all in the same boat. There's a lot of things that we worry about. And Austin, is there a scripture that comes to your mind that really provides a lot of comfort and peace?
Yeah, I think in those worries, one of the things that I've talked about a lot, beginning words and ending words in relationships are really important. They start and end things. And so Jesus' words right at the end of his life as he's talking to his best friends. It's the end of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 20, he goes, I will never leave you. I'm always with you to the very end of the age. And that just, as Jesus is leaving, his last words to his best friends, that he'll never, ever leave them. He's with them always.
That's a powerful one, yeah.
Even though he's leaving. So what for you?
Sometimes for those that are parents, especially if you have younger age kids, sometimes you want to just pull out your hair. It's just a lot of craziness at home, even just getting to church on time or late. But we love our kids more than anything else. At the same time, one of the scriptures that really has powerfully spoken to me is Psalm 27:10, that though my own mother or father may forsake me, I never will. And that's God speaking to us. And even at times our kids drive us crazy.
Yeah.
We love them so much, and yet the Bible reminds us that as much as you think you love your kids, even if they were to forsake you, I never will. And that really comforts me a lot.
That's good.
Yeah. Today we're talking about anxiety and worry. And whether you are in kindergarten, whether you're in your 80s, as soon as you're born into this world, there are so many things that are so uncertain and often make us worry a lot. And even if we're Christ followers, it doesn't mean that worry disappears. And yet, as we think about Jesus' sermon to us about how we need to continue to trust him, he reminds us that obsessional worry, when you're so worried you can't even move forward in your life, that that is not compatible with genuine faith in him. We can worry at times, but to have obsessional worry that freezes us, that is not compatible with the kind of what we call kingdom faith in a big Jesus. So that's one thing that as we think about the message that Jesus has for us, that we are reminded of, that obsessional worry. At the same time, Jesus addresses this in his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, because anxiety has a way of really debilitating us in real ways. And that's something that I think all of us can relate to, so much so that Jesus actually addresses it in one of his most important sermons, his messages of all, that anxiety is real and it can paralyze you. So I love the realness of Jesus.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking this morning. Like, the big idea is that as we talk about Jesus in the Sermon Mount, he talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And this morning, we really want to like root ourselves in the truth that Jesus really is king, and he's bigger than your worries. And so we want to look at that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. So if you have a Bible in front of you, whether it's a physical Bible like mine, or you have it on your phone, pull it out. Let's take a look at Matthew 7, starting in verse 25. So I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, or clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or to harvest or to put food in barns, because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable than they. Call all your worries. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. So, and why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs, and he will give you all you need from the day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble are enough for today."
We're reminded that when we are paralyzed with anxiety and worry, we often act as if we don't believe. We often act like people who don't know who God is in their lives. When anxiety comes, if there is no difference, the question is, how real is our faith? And so I think that's why Jesus addresses it, because he cares and he sees what worry can do to you and I in our lives. You know, when we worry and we're so overwhelmed with anxiety, what basically happens is that though we act very spiritual when we come to church, as soon as we go home, we act no different than a practical atheist. In the real challenges of life, Monday through Saturday, if our lives don't have any difference, if God does not make any difference in the things that causes us to worry about, something is not right. And that's why Jesus cares so much about addressing of how important it is the way God's kingdom people address worry in their lives. I know there are a lot of times, even as a Christ follower and as a minister, that when I worry, I almost throw God out the window. Yeah. And I want to take control of the situation because I want to fix it. I want to take care of it. And then those times, am I responding any different than someone who does not know the love of Jesus in their lives? So sometimes we live like practical atheists, and that is not what God's kingdom people should be looking like. I think a second thing is that often, though all the Bible knowledge and theology are in my head, I sometimes have a hard time believing that God is a loving Father.
Yeah.
And because of that, I feel that I'm on my own and I gotta figure out the solution. Uh-huh. And the reason why is because I often either forget or choose not to believe. Yes, God is all powerful. He's there. But is he really my loving Father? Mm. I remember turning 16 or so and getting my driver's license for the first time. I had my first big car wreck.
Oof.
And, you know, by God's grace, I came out of it okay. But the first worry is you got to come home and you got to tell your parents. You got to tell your dad.
Yep.
I'm like, is this a good time to run away from home?
Yes.
I just wrecked the family car and I'm dead meat. And my dad is going to have my hide. I mean, I literally thought about running away to one of my friend's houses because I was so ashamed and I was going to get a whooping by my dad.
Amen,
for wrecking the family car. And when I share with my dad, Dad, I'm so sorry. I should have been more careful. I had a pretty bad car accident and I wrecked the car. Mm. He said, son, I'm just glad you're okay. That's the most important thing. Mm. And to get a hug and an embrace. That spoke to me so powerfully when my second and third accident came later on in the next couple of years. Oh, boy.
You know why I get worried when I ride with you. I'm just kidding.
It's been a while since I've had that accident, but that fear that I had that I'm dead meat because my dad is furious, but instead he showed me love. And that reminded me that even when we mess up in life, that God desires to wrap his arms around us and remind us, I love you. I'm your good father. And so because of that, don't fall into a worry that strangles your life. I'm a loving father and I care for you.
Yeah, and I mean, I did that too. I wrecked it with my first car. I wasn't even driving yet when I wrecked the car. Wasn't even driving. That's a whole another story. But I think that's like the truth and the reality of it, really. Right? Like we understand here that God's a good, good father. Like we sing about this song, right? Chris Tomlin like wrote a song, you know, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. But I think really the reality is the reason Jesus talks about this, because he knows the brokenness that exists within us. Right? I mean, I think within our understanding of relationships with each other, we've all come to a place where we've had an experience with one another that the trust has been broken. Right? Oh, man, if I just got this job, or if, you know, you're younger, if I just got this grade, Jesus, would you give me this grade on this? I'm not ready for this test, right? Or even, you know, as a young, you know, person, God, if you'll get me in this relationship, I'll really, like, love you and follow you, right? And there's places that we've been in relationships with each other where we've been hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been hurt and we've betrayed each other.
That's right.
We've been left.
Yep.
We've had words said to us that really break us down and that cause us to feel like, man, who do we trust? And when you come to that place of who do I trust? And when you can't answer that question because the people that you have been in relationship with you have hurt you and broken that trust, What creeps in is that worries. The worry creeps in your life. Who's going to provide for me? Is somebody going to leave me? We've lived in real relationships long enough that we know that if we've been in a friendship, even within the church, if we've been at a church long enough, we understand that we're going to hurt each other and we're going to let each other down. We're going to be broken together. But the thing that often hurts the most is, especially in these bigger things that Jesus is talking about, is we transition or we translate, or I even say project, these broken relationships that we exist on into a broken relationship with Jesus. That he says, I am the king to the kingdom. But we go, whoa. I've been hurt. And I've actually been hurt by followers of you, Jesus. So if they follow you and they hurt me, then I believe that you possibly could hurt me. And I actually then don't believe that you really are the king of your kingdom. Or that the kingdom that you exist in is one that I can trust, that I can live faithfully into and feel like I don't have to worry. And so we project on Jesus that the relationships and the brokenness and the things that we have felt real in these relationships here, we project them onto Jesus and says, man, I worry about the practical things in life. What I'm going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to wear? And that we believe we live in a kingdom who has a king that isn't good, because we live in a kingdom where there are people, citizens of those kingdom, and those people have hurt us. And so we then believe that that's a reflection of the king. And so we say, well, you know what? If Jesus didn't heal my dad, if Jesus didn't give me what I wanted, we become kings of our own kingdom then. And those worries that exist in our lives aren't then answered by Jesus, who is the one who creates all things, provides for all things in the kingdom, that we believe then we have to become the kings of our little kingdom and provide the answers for the worries that we have. What are you going to eat or drink? Oh, I don't know. Let me go figure that out. Let me get the next job that will provide more. Where am I going to sleep? I'm worried about my housing. I'm worrying about the very things that I'm going to rest on. Well, I'll go fix that. I'll go find a better place to live if I don't like where I live. I'll go find a safer neighborhood. I don't believe God's going to heal me or heal my friends or heal my dad. So I'm going to go find the best doctor. In his earthly and human wisdom and intellect, can bring the medicine and the healing that I need or my father needs or somebody else needs, because I don't believe Jesus can do what he says he's going to do. When our worries creep in because of the brokenness we experience with each other, it's easy to project on Jesus that he is one who too will let down. That he is the one that's going to come to you and be like, oh, you didn't meet my expectation, Jesus. But here in this passage, when he talks about the kingdom of God, about not worrying, he's saying, allow me to be the king. Live in my kingdom and know that I will provide what you need every day. I might not meet your expectation, but I promise you, I will fulfill every need that you have. Physically, emotionally, mentally. When others have broken your trust, when others have left you, when others have said words that'll beat you down, I will be there when no one else is. Adults, students, kids, the truth is that Jesus is the one who's there for you when nobody else is.
Yep.
In his kingdom, he is the king that we go after, because everything we need, he has. It might not be what we want, but it is what he has. And we want to be honest in that. We don't want to just come up and say, yes, Jesus is the king of the kingdom. What we want to do as a staff say, we do worry too. A part of this service is to realistically say, give a good portrayal of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And so what I want to do is I'm going to invite Sue and Evan to come up. And what we have for you now is we're going to bare our souls a little bit with you and say, we're not prone. We're prone to worry as well. We're not free of it. We're prone to it as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this thing of like, what do we worry about? And then we're going to answer this question. How has God been faithful? How has Jesus been faithful. So why don't you kick us off?
Sure thing. So we're doing a little object lesson too. We brought some things to kind of show what our worries are about. And so I brought a cross. And you know, my worry and Chelsea's worry is this humbling season that we're walking through, is it going to knock us down a few rungs in the kingdom of God? And thankfully, there is no such thing as upward mobility in the kingdom of God. And the cross reminds us that it was through Jesus' humiliation, his death, that he was raised to the throne to be the king. That's how he became king, is through his death. And so the cross is a comfort. I know there's a ton of symbolism in it, but it's a perfect picture.
Yeah, see, what do you worry about?
I'll give you guys one guess. So it's been a couple months now since I started here, and starting up after COVID was not easy. And we still don't have enough people every week, but, you know, as you saw with our little skit before, there's a lot of things, you know, to worry about, and just mainly like the nursery and the Tykes time. Are we going to have enough helpers? Because those are energetic kids, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, when I'm planning the lessons, I'm really thinking about, are they really going to get this? Are they going to take it to heart? Because if they just come and they just play and it's no different than going to school, then, you know, I've failed. So I really want to know when they come here that they're leaving with more than when they came.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of you have heard, and most of you know, that Ashley and I will be, and our family is transitioning away from Trinity. And one of the things that we do is I have this picture in my office, and it's two friends that have been instrumental in our life, friends that we've known since our days in Chicago. And one of the things that we really worry about in this season, especially that we reflect on and is hard, is that we've developed friendships here that are hard to leave. And our question and our worry is that we sit at night and we're getting ready for bed and we ask this question, because at night those things and those worries creep in. I don't know about you, but at night those worries creep into my head. As I lay my head down, my mind starts and the worry starts. And the question we ask is, will we ever find friends like this or like this in our new place? Will we ever find friends? And I look at this and I say, man, God is so faithful in all of the places that we've been. Countless places that we have gone and we've served. We've had friends that have marked our life, and I believe to the very core of my being that he'll do it again. He will do it again. And so I keep this out as a picture, not only to look at my friends that I love, but to remind me that God is more faithful than I could ever dare, dream, ask, or even imagine.
Amen. For me, I'll be very honest.
Yes.
It's not Under Armour, but
yeah.
I worry a lot about my kids' academics. I worry a lot of their academics. Of course, we're thinking about not just high school, but college. And the reason why I worry so much about it, because I know that in my mind, their academics is very much tied to their future job and career,
yeah,
and to a life of the American dream, if I'm really honest with myself.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I want them to glorify God. They're all pretty sharp cookies, so I want them to use what God has given to them. But I know in my heart, sometimes I forget about God.
Yeah.
And I think that they need to get in the best college as possible, to get the best job as possible, and then that will provide the safety and security. There's nothing wrong with that. But, Austin, you asked, how has God spoken to you about that? I know that my father being a medical doctor, and I'm the first born and only son in my family, that was his dream for me when he left his home in South Korea and came to America. And they wanted me to go that path and follow after my dad's footsteps. And God had a surprise, and he called me into full-time ministry to be a pastor.
Yeah.
for years and years and years, even though they're both very strong Christians, they never accepted that. They asked me, can you still think about medical school, even after finishing seminary? Even a couple years ago, they would even ask that. And eventually they realized that God had a different plan.
Yeah.
And they support me. They're my biggest fans.
Yeah.
And so looking at my own journey, I realized that academics is very important, but there's a bigger plan that God has for us. And he's taking care of me and my family. Mm-hmm. And though my parents went through their heartbreak initially, now they are so supportive because they trust in God's future for their kids. And he is asking me to do the same. I'm still going to push them to study hard, but that is not their ultimate hope, but it is in God's love for them.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that with everyone.
And the reason what we're challenging you to do, like, this moment doesn't just stay here. What we're asking you to do as disciples of Jesus, we're not asking you just to understand something. We're asking you to live out something. And so when you go home, we want you to identify what is the thing that you worry about. Right now, think about it. And the reason we brought these up, because these things are physical reminders that God is more faithful than our worries, that he's bigger than our worries. So what we want you to do when you go home, and Peter's going to talk about this faithfulness, is we want you to identify what your worry is and then find something. Put it in your face consistently to remind you that when you persist in your worry, God is more faithful than you dare dream, ask, or imagine. The reason we forget, the reason we worry, is because we don't put our eyes on Jesus. We don't say thank you enough for the things and the ways that he's been faithful. He's been faithful.
Exactly. And as we draw our time to an end with four of us up here, what are you worried about these days? Mm-hmm. What are you worried about that keeps you up at night?
Yeah.
And those things are real. We never want to over-spiritualize or rationalize. Worry is real. But Jesus is king.
Yes.
And he is king and greater than your greatest worries. Let us not live like practical atheists that are very spiritual when we get together in religious gatherings. But when we're back home and no eyes are watching, that there is a real faith demonstrated in his trust. We never forget that Jesus is king of his kingdom, that though worry is real, that he is greater than all of our worries. And we're reminded that when we understand that God is a loving father, he proved it by sending his own son to die on a Roman cross.
Yeah.
When you know that you are embraced by a most loving father, worry will not destroy you. There is always hope because of Jesus. He is king of the kingdom. And so because of that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Amen.
Amen.